Let's just agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for that spirit that you so richly given unto us upon resurrection. Thank you, Father, for that great work of redemption that you moved up. Thank you, Father, for the riches of liberality that you have bestowed upon us. We ask and receive this evening that as we go into the world, our eyes of understanding and light to behold the riches and riches deposited in us. That as we teach the truth of God's word this evening, our hearts are receptive to receive God's word. There is no confusion. The truth of God's word is taught in simplicity and with clarity. And we say and declare that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. You can have a seat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a privilege to be here this evening. And I would like to appreciate my dear brother, Pastor Tuluwani. He's been a very amazing friend of mine and a good brother to me, really. You know, I want to appreciate what God has been doing in his life. And you know, we have a conviction in our heart that this is just the beginning of the great things that will be done through him. So thank you so much for the privilege. I do not take this for granted, sir. I do not take it for granted. Thank you so much. Yeah, so we'll just go into the word. You know, if it was the Bible, I would like that we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy. And he tells Timothy that study to show thyself as approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That was an instruction from Paul, the spiritual father of Timothy. You know, say, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, that first statement there, study to show thyself as approved, might seem like Paul is telling Timothy to study so that God will approve him. But the real sense, if just for time, a better way to read that verse would be study to show thyself as one who is approved of God. Yeah, that word there, study, means to be diligent. Paul uses that same word in the same 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. It says, do thy diligence to come unto me. Yeah, that word there, diligence, means to study. Yeah, so study to show thyself as one who is approved of God, a workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word there, workman, is like a word that has to do with a worker, a laborer, a toiler. Yeah, that same word Jesus used for the harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. Yeah, the laborer. So a laborer that needed not to be ashamed. Ashamed of what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That word there, rightly dividing, means to carefully handle something. You know, theologians believe that word is usually associated with miners. When you have to bring out precious diamonds or precious things from the midst of the rock. So when a miner wants to bring out diamonds from the midst of the rock, he has to be careful as to how he mines that what he's bringing out. So Paul said that if that's a student, which is like Timothy, by extension to you and I, should have an attitude of a miner who is going to be careful in handling what the word of truth. So he says that a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Not to be ashamed of the word means to allow the word, no matter the circumstance, never to be ashamed of the word. He goes to chapter 4 and tells Timothy, as I charge you, that it be instant in season and out of season. So he says, study to show thyself, yet be diligent to show thyself as one who is approved of God, a laborer that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if there's a right way of dividing the word of truth, there is a wrong way of dividing the word of truth. But a minister of the gospel should have a right way of dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. You know, if you go to the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 15, it says that for a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You know the holy scriptures. What are the holy scriptures? These are scriptures that are set apart for a particular purpose. What are scriptures set apart for? They are set apart to make us wise unto salvation. That word there, wise, there means to be skillful pertaining. Yeah, so that word there, wise, is skillful. The word there, unto, is pertaining or concerning. So, from a child, you know the Holy Scriptures, they are able to make thee wise unto salvation. From a child, there means that you set out as a saint, basically, not really from when you were a baby. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we together this evening? Am I fast? No. Not really, right? Yeah, so, and from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee skillful concerning salvation. So it means that now, remember at the time when this was written, the book of Timothy was not in existence. Hallelujah. Yeah, because he was just writing the letter to Timothy at the time. So when he says, so he goes to verse 16 and says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God. What will all scriptures mean at this time? It will be Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he says all scriptures are given by inspiration, the scriptures there will be Genesis to Malachi, because at the time, Timothy was not written. So Paul does well to tell Timothy that from a child, since you started out as a saint, the scriptures you know are to be able to make this skillful regarding salvation. So it means that the scriptures have one particular meaning. Are we together? Remember, he already told Timothy that he should study to show himself as one who is approved. Hallelujah. Are we here this evening?
Yes,
so he says that all scriptures are given by inspiration. That is, God inspired that scriptures should be written. That they are profitable for doctrine. That word here, profitable, means advantageous. Yeah, they are profitable for doctrine, yeah, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So we see that there is a purpose of scriptures. The advantage of scriptures is what? To make us wise unto salvation. The advantage of scriptures is for doctrine, is for teaching. Glory to God. So it means that scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, point to one thing, salvation. You know, if you look at 2 Timothy properly, you realize that Paul didn't say scriptures are advantageous for quoting. Yeah, they are advantageous for teaching. In teaching, we have reproof. That word they reproof is assurance, then correction, then training. Nothing like quoting. So in as much as the minister of the gospel will quote scriptures, scriptures are not for quoting. What does that mean? It means that every portion of the scriptures needs to be explained in context. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John 1:45. John chapter 1, verse 45. John chapter 1, verse 45. John chapter 1, verse 45, if you are there, yeah, Philip found Nathanael and told him that, behold, he whom Moses in the law and the prophets spoke about. Moses in the law and the prophets spoke about. Who was he? Jesus, the son of Joseph. So it means that Moses, that was writing Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, spoke about one person. That is, Moses knew about one person. Moses knew about that great salvation of that one person. Hallelujah. So Philip finds Nathanael and says, oh, we've had access to scriptures all along. Now we see who the scriptures were pointing to. Yeah, go to John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures, you think in them you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Who was talking there? Jesus Christ. You search the scriptures, you think in them that you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. So if you read verse 45 of that same chapter 5, it says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So who did Moses write about?
Jesus.
So who was Moses writing about? So it means that we need to go and revisit Moses' writing to see where Jesus is found. Hallelujah. Look at it again. It says, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me. Yeah? Go to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 24. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. Yeah, so we've established from 2 Timothy, first of all, that the scriptures are to make us skillful concerning salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Are we here this evening? So scriptures are to make wise unto salvation. John 1:45. Philip finds Nathanael and says, this is who Moses and the prophets spoke about. John 5:39. He said the scriptures, you think in them they have life, but they are they which testify of me. John 5:46 says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. Luke 24, verse 24. Yeah, Luke 24, verse 24. You know, Luke was, and Jesus was saying, he said, and Luke was narrating, he said, and certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even as so, as they were told. Then Jesus saw them and said, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. O fools and slow. So when Jesus called them fools, he was just describing the state of their heart at the time. Why did he call them fools? Because they were slow of heart to believe what the prophet had spoken about. Who were the prophets? From Moses down unto Malachi. So did the prophet speak? What were they to do with what the prophet spoke? They were to believe. They didn't believe. What did Jesus say? He said, oh fools. What did the prophet say? He tells us in verse 36, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So it means that the summary of what the prophets were saying from Moses to Malachi was that Christ will suffer certain things and enter into his glory. Verse 27 now tells us, and beginning at Moses, we mean beginning at the writings of Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. So what did Jesus do? Jesus speaks scriptures to explain himself from scriptures. Remember, at the time Luke was written, Luke was not a book in existence. So all Jesus had access to explain himself was what? Genesis to Malachi. So when Jesus resurrected, he didn't say, look at where the nail entered. He didn't say, look at where the nail did. What did he do? He picked the scriptures to explain that they were all talking about him. Why am I saying this? You know, we are inaugurating the church. We started the church meeting. You know, and it's important that we know the essence of the church. Yeah, it's important. So Jesus says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Look at verse 46, Luke 24, verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name amongst all nations. Now, what did Jesus give as an instruction to be preached? Repentance and remission of sins. It would mean that, okay, hold on. Let's hold our thoughts there. Look at verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now remember, this happened when Jesus was resurrected. Look at verse 21 of chapter 24. Look at verse 21 of chapter 24. So, look at chapter 24, verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Now, the prophets wrote about a redemption. But they thought the redemption that the prophets spoke about was about Israel as a country. Hallelujah. Yeah, so, they were disappointed. They said, we thought it was one that would redeem Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things that were done. Now, look at Acts chapter 1. You see, the church is primarily the place. let me say this. The church is for the growth in knowledge of the work of Christ. Are we together? Yeah, are we together? Okay, let's see something. Jesus resurrected and for 40 days, let's see that. Acts 1. Look at Acts 1. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Are we there? The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles which he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Now, Luke 24 told us that he proved that he was alive from where? From scriptures, right? When he resurrected, where did he prove his resurrection from? Scriptures. Yeah. So when you see by infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, what was he doing for 40 days in your Bible? Speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is a figurative expression for the resurrection. So he was teaching for 40 days about the resurrection. Yeah, you know, we live in a generation right now, people teach that the kingdom of God is about finance, they go by the spirit, government. It's a fallacy, it's delusion. The work of, okay, go to Matthew 26. Put your hands in Acts 1 and go to Matthew 26:26. We're just trying to lay the foundation as to what the church is really about. Matthew 26, verse 26. So what it says there, it says, as they were eating, let's just read 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for what? The remission of what? Remission of what? You know, if you have a good Bible, there should be a full stop there. What we do is that we put comma. Remission of sins, academics, my purpose in life, my doctorate, and whatever we want to attach. Christ died for one thing. Yeah, the earlier we learn this truth, the better for our Christian life and our life generally. Christ died for sins and sins alone. Yeah, there's nothing like Christ died for an encompassing. Yeah, because Christ died, I will not fail my exam. No, if you read, you will fail in Christ. Amen? Yeah, if you don't read, you will fail in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we here today?
Yes,
are we here today?
Yes,
go back to Acts 1. Okay. Okay, before you go to Acts 1, go to Matthew 28. Go to Matthew 28. You see, Matthew now gives us a summative or a summation of the thing Jesus said in 40 days. If you remember from Acts 1, we saw that Jesus taught for how many days? 40 days, right? Yeah, so Matthew gives us a summative statement concerning that. See what it says? He says, verse 18, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's not saying that every power in the universe is given unto me. Yeah, that will not make sense, because that will include witchcraft power. Right? So when he says all power, that word there, power is authority. What is the authority for? What is the authority in reference to? The next verse tells us, go ye therefore in this authority and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we don't have the name of the Father, name of the Son. We have the name of the Son. We have the work and reputation of the Son. Hallelujah. Yeah. So what does it mean by baptizing them in the name of the Father? It doesn't say go and put people in water. No. So when it says baptizing, that is figurative expression. So when it says go into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them, baptizing is really the teaching. Look at it carefully. In verse 20, what's the first word in your Bible?
Teaching,
right? So did he mention baptizing again? Mm-hmm. So actually, his emphasis is on teaching. Okay, in case it's not clear, go to Mark 16. Go to Mark 16, in case that's not clear enough. Remember we're in Acts 1, but through Acts 1, go to Matthew 26. Look at Mark 16, verse 15. Look at Mark 16, 15. Yeah, this is similar, right? What does it say? He says, and he said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. What was the instruction? Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What? Look at what he says in verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized. That word there, and, is the Greek word that is kai. A lot of times, he's not speaking about two different people, Joshua and Tammy, but speaking about an explanation of what was said before. So my name is Joshua, my surname is Yusuf. So when I say Joshua and Yusuf, I mean Joshua that is Yusuf. Hallelujah. So he that is baptized, look at it again, Mark 16:16. He that believeth that is baptized. So how is a man baptized? He is baptized by believing. So when he says go into the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Son, what does it mean? Go into the world and preach people into the name, the reputation, the work of the Son. Look at John 3, look at John 3, look at John 3. Look at John 3. Look at John 3, 3. Jesus answered and said unto them, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be born again? Yeah? Because they must ask a very interesting question. How can I go into my mother's womb the second time? Look at Jesus' reply in verse 5. Jesus answered and said, very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He's not saying born of water inside H2O and the Spirit. The word there and is what? Or not always two things, but explain. So what does born of water and of the Spirit mean? Born of water, that is the Spirit. So what is the water of God? The Spirit. Figurative. Yeah? So born of water, that is the Spirit. Look at John 7. Look at John 7. Look at John 7. Look at John 7. Look at John 7, 37. John 7, verse 37. It says, in the last day, John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood crying, saying, if any man be thirsty, let him come unto me and do what? Drink. Look at how Jesus said a man is to drink. Look at verse 37, verse 38 rather. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, out of whose belly? Is it your belly or his belly? Out of whose belly shall flow rivers of living water? Okay, look at verse 39. But this is faith of the Spirit. So when he says, now, do you have the ability to give the Holy Spirit? No. You can only point people to the Holy Spirit. Out of his belly, the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What does out of his belly mean? Verse 39 tells you, he spake ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So how do you drink of the water of Jesus? By what? Believing. So a man who has believed has drank of that out of the rivers of living water. And he can never be thirsty. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Once you drink of that water, you can never be thirsty. It is forever drinking. It is satisfaction. Yeah, the same thing you see in Matthew 6. Yeah, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread there is not talking about every Monday and Tuesday. Yeah. But our sufficient bread, Jesus is the bread of life. So we eat him of the bread of life. We can never go hungry. We can never go thirsty. Remember when Acts chapter 1, right? Yeah, so Acts 1. Hallelujah. So these are the things that are to be, that you see, the reason why we have to, you see, Jesus and Peter had a narrative, and Jesus told Peter, if you love me, what do you do? Feed my what? My lamb, my sheep, really, one and two. So, and that happened 3 times. Look at what happened in Acts 1. Remember, Luke 24:21 says that they thought that he was the one that would redeem who? Israel. Look at Acts 1:3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom. So Jesus was speaking for 40 days about the resurrection. Where was he teaching from? Scriptures. And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expanded unto them the things himself. Yeah? Now, look at for our time. Look at verse 6. Where now? Jesus finished teaching for 40 days. See the questions the disciples asked. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Acts 1:6. So, Jesus had finished teaching about a kingdom for 40 days. And after that, the first question the elderly men, they asked, when will we talk? So it means that for 40 days, Jesus did not touch anything about the kingdom of Israel in his teaching. Because if he had taught it there, they would not ask this. But he taught for 40 days. Let's think about it. That means the church can teach a singular thing, the resurrection of Christ, forever.
Yes, sir.
40 days back to back, he was teaching the same. But yet, you know, the heart of men, Pastor, when you teach us 70 keys to make financial prosperity, there is no key. The only key is to go and work. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together? Jesus finished teaching and they asked him, when will you now teach about? Sir, there are some dimensions, there are some portals, there are some kingdom principles. Sir, when will you teach us? Look at Jesus' answer in verse 7. And he said unto them, you know, the see that error in that verse, you know, along the days, you know, something will come into understand. What Jesus said unto them was, it is not for you. For you who you are to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his power. Verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. What is the power for? Look at it carefully. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So, what is the Holy Spirit in us for?
To
be witnesses of that great resurrection.
Yes.
So, is it wrong to go into politics? No. Is it wrong to go into medicine? You know. But what are you to do there? Your assignment is primarily to witness about that great resurrection. Look at verse 42 of Acts 2. Actually, look at Acts 2, 42. Look at it. And they continue steadfastly in the what? Apostolic doctrine. Apostles' doctrine. Their saints. The truth of God's word is to be taught by men to teach other men so that they can teach other men.
Yes, sir.
I'll say that again. Mm-hmm. Okay, turn with me to 2 Timothy 2. 2. Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, quickly. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Remember, Jesus' instruction says, go into the world and teach the gospel. He that believes is perfect. Look at 2 Timothy 2, 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same. Everybody say the same.
The same.
The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Dear saints, the apostolic doctrine is to be committed to men who will commit to other men to commit to other men. That is God's will. The apostolic doctrine, what was taught by Jesus to the apostles, is to be the same. The same. Christ died for sins and sins alone. And he that believes that is saved forever. Nothing can undo it. You cannot undo it. What if I did not? You cannot undo it. The moment you are saved, the responsibility of keeping your salvation is in the hands of God. For none can pluck you from his hands. Look at Ephesians 4. Yeah, we're rounding up already. Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, which are teachers. Yeah. What is the reason for those ministry deeds? Straightforward. For the perfecting of the saints. What does perfection of the saints really mean? He explains again. Yeah. For the work of the ministry. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, every man being Christ is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Yet all things are of God who has reconciled us back to himself. He has now given unto us a ministry of reconciliation. Now I beseech you in Christ's name that what? As ambassadors of God, yet you preach the word of reconciliation. So you have a pastor to teach you, to train you up for ministry of reconciliation so that you can also train other people for ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says, in God's will that all men be saved. How will God do it? Through you and I. So we have pastors for perfection of saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of faith. What is unity of faith? It means that all the churches have to say the same thing concerning resurrection. Unity of faith doesn't mean that all the churches in Benghazi have to gather and play in our sports. Pastor, red against purple. No, that's unity of faith. That is just coming together to enjoy yourself. Unity of faith, according to Paul, is based on doctrine. He explains it. Till we come to the unity of faith, remember that word there, that is of the knowledge of the Son of God. Look at Jeremiah 3:15 quickly. Look at Jeremiah 3:15 quickly. So we're just doing all of this to establish, you know, look at Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors. Yeah, is that your Bible? Yeah, and I will give you, so that's speaking to them, right? I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding. So, dear saints, we have pastors amongst us. Remember Ephesians 4. Yeah, pastors who they are to bring saints unto perfection. What is really perfection? For the work of ministry. So, every man who has been reconciled to Christ or to God by the work of Christ has a ministry of reconciliation. So, every man has a purpose, which is, so, a purpose in the fact, a saint has a purpose to God. What is the purpose to God? That a man receives reconciliation and he does the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together this morning? Yes. Are we together this morning? Yes. Or rather this evening? Yeah. So, really, go back to Acts 1. Go back to Acts 1. Look at, or even for our time, just go to Acts 13:49. Hallelujah. Acts 13:39, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Hallelujah. So, what is that thing that God is counting on you and I for? For the word of God to be published all around the region. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an army rising up from this wing of the city. There's an army rising up from this wing of the city. An army of people coming together collectively who are properly guarded with all necessary materials. A coming of people that will generate a company of people that will herald the lordship of our Lord and Savior. A coming together of people who will pounce, calf, pull the bow, shikana, yeah, what that means is, who will preach the joy and peace found in the resurrection. Yet men who will pass, spoke, and above, speak, spoke, men who would make themselves persuasive and make themselves convicted about the reality of God in Christ Jesus. Men who would go out with signs and wonders following the message of our Lord, the Lordship of our Christ Jesus. Men who would give themselves solely to that singular work of Christ and they around it irrespective of what they are about. Yeah, irrespective of the sphere and area they find themselves. For there's an army that, oh yes, I'm in that number. You're in that number. Yeah, do well to keep reminding yourself and deepen your conviction in these things. For God counts on you. God counts on me. God counts on me. God counts on me. God counts on you. God counts on me. God counts on you. And we know that in the days of God, there are testimonies that would abound. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God.